将利他的力量。May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make this majlis of ours a majlis of ma'rifah which remains an asset of ours in our graves, in our barzakh, and in our qiyamah, inshaAllah. And on this night when Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is hit, may Allah, by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, grant all the best, all the good, which every noble asked from Allah to each one of us. And on this night of Qadr, on this night of the Zarbat and Amir al-Mu'mineen being hit, everyone is hurt. We extend our condolences to the presence of the Savior of all mankind, Imam al-Asr al-Jalallahu ta'ala barajahu al-Sharif. When Amir al-Mu'mineen was born, prior to his birth, we find that Fatima bint Asad, his mother, she is in labor, and to supplicate for tawassul, she comes towards the Kaaba. She supplicates, she comes towards the Kaaba, and in pains of labor, she says, Ilahi, Zikr Yarab Yarabam Bashat Filam Taqe. Until when shall I supplicate? Until when shall I say, O Lord, O Lord? Ze antu he manabi del binalat murgishat taqe. Dilam amat bijan. In suza sazo taqatat taqe. Asal baksha ta'aham ra. Bagal kusha kanaham ra. ببین برق نگاهم را به من بنما راهم را. She supplicates, she asks Allah to find her a way out. And upon her supplication, says that Kareem Allah Kalam Ahmad Khaleel Allah Maram Ahmad. If you look into this, Kareem Allah is the title given to us to Musa. He is the spokesman of Allah. He spoke to Allah. Says here, Kareemullah, his Prophet Musa, the words he speaks, he gets, it's from Allah, but here, but upon the birth of Amir al-Mu'mineen, we find that it is the word of Allah, the Barakul Ala, which has come to this existence. There, Khaleelullah, it's Ibrahim, his friend of Allah. And here, the friend of Khaleelullah, Ibrahim, comes, steps into this world. Says that as she was supplicating to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, the walls of Kaaba, they crack open, and someone who was in labor, who should not be in a mosque, she is brought into the mosque, the walls of Kaaba, they open and she enters into the Kaaba. And after 3 days in Kaaba, again the doors of Kaaba, they open, the walls of Kaaba, they crack open, and she comes out. And there Abu Talib alayhi salam, this noble father of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he takes his baby, hugs the baby, and here the baby was wrapped. And this is the land of Abta. He was supplicating to Allah. What does he say? He says, Ya Rab, hadha al-ghasakh al-tuji wal-falak al-mubtalij al-mudhi bayyin lana عن أمرك المقضي ماذا ترى في اسم السبي. Says that, Lord, O Lord, what shall I name him? Now he supplicates in a poetic form and says that, O Lord of the darkness and dusk, Lord of the glowing daybreak, reveal unto me your command, your decree, that what shall be the name of this baby be. Now this is the supplication of Abu Talib alayhi salam. And at that moment, a tablet fell from the sky onto the earth. And when he picks up that tablet, on it is engraved, خُسِّسْتُمَا بِالْوَلَدِ السَّكِي وَالطَّاهِرِ الْمُنْتَجَبِ الرَّذِي وَاسْمُهُ مِنْ قَاهِرِ الْعَلِي عَلِيُّ لِشْتُقَّ مِنَ الْعَلِي. says that you've been selected for this choicest son. Be pleased. The pure, the chosen, and be pleased that He, the lofty, almighty Ali, has named this baby Ali. That is, as Allah, the Barak wa Ta'ala, His name is Ali. This baby that is born, who is a junior to that senior Ali, must also be named Ali. So that is how the name of Amir al-Mu'mineen, upon the supplication of Abu Talib alayhi salam, was given by Allah the Barak wa Ta'ala as Ali. Here we find that Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam says that this tablet on which this saying of Allah fell from the heavens to the ground was hung onto the walls of Kaaba until the time of Marwan, and from since then onwards that tablet was never seen. Now here we find that Abu Talib alayhi salam, with all the joy and happiness, he comes towards Kaaba and comes back with a baby in his arm. With a baby in his arm, named by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and the husband and the wife, with the baby, they go. But we do see that in Karbala, that a father is there, Abu Abdullah and Hussein. A baby is given to this father. And on that day of Ashura, we find that here Ali was returned to his mother in one piece with that name. But here, this Ali, the junior Ali of Amir al-Mu'mineen, his grandson, taken to the land of Karbala, does not return in one piece. Next severed, next sliced from one ear to the other. So that is how Amir al-Mu'mineen was named by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Greatness of Amir al-Mu'mineen, to talk about Amir al-Mu'mineen, even if all the waters of this ocean were ink, and if all the trees of this planet Earth were pens, even then we will find that nothing can be written about Amir al-Mu'mineen. Regarding the sincerity, khulus of Amir al-Mu'mineen, we find that his one niyat, not the action itself, only the niyat of how he performed on that battle of Khandaq. Here Rasulullah says, ضربت عليٍ يوم الخندق أفضل من عبادة الثقلين. That Imam over there hits on that head of that mal'oon just once. Rasulullah says that one hitting of Ali on that head of that mal'oon Amr ibn Abdul, it's much better than the worship of everyone. Whatever Allah has created, if all was to worship, says the intention of Ali was much more sincere, much more pure. As a result of which, even those ayat we find in Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, that when Rasulullah's life was in danger, we find that Amir al-Mu'mineen at this time is just 23 years of age, a young man. Says that when Rasul's life is in danger, he puts his life in danger, sleeps in the bed of Rasulullah, and sends him off to, so that he is safe. Say someone who saves the Prophet to give away his own life to seek the pleasure of Allah, such great intention no one possessed, no one ever possessed. In one of these battles, when the physician comes to Rasulullah and gives the report, says, Ya Rasulullah, Ali, he has 90 wounds. One of the wounds is very severe. The arrow, it has hit his leg and has got into his bone. And the pain, we know how much is that. And it cannot be removed due to the pain he has. Rasulullah says, wait. Wait till Ali stands in worship, in prayer, and then you can take that arrow out easily. That is the sincerity. That is the worship of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And we find that in the streets of Kufa, when Amir al-Mu'mineen is an old man now. Now here, sincerity, khulus of Ali. Now if you recall your memories, it was mentioned the other day that after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the general body meeting that was held by Shaitan with his immediate trustees and his EC members, in that meeting, what does Shaitan say? Says that this Khilafat must be seized away from Ali. Because if Ali becomes the Khalifa of Rasulullah, then no sinner will remain on this planet, no sin will be committed if Ali comes into place. So we have to do everything so that he does not become the Khalifa. We can bring anyone else, but he does not take the charge. And they did as such. And if you recall your memories, it was mentioned that when Amirul Mu'mineen was busy with the burial of Rasulullah and his spade was in his hand, his Sahabi, the companion Abu Zar, he comes and says, Imam asks, what happened? Says, Abu Bakr has been selected as chosen as the Khalifa. And then Abu Zar says that I was amazed to see an old man, never seen in Medina before. He had the most marks of sajda on him. And such a pious man, he was crying the most, and he was the first one who extended his bayat to Abu Bakr. Here Amirul Mu'mineen says, did you recognize him? Says, no, I never saw him. Says, that was Shaitan who had come in person, because the task was a huge big task, and because he had laid the solid foundation stone of Inhiraf, and he was successful in that mission. So he comes first to extend his bayat to Abu Bakr. So that is Shaitan. So here we find that he says, if Ali was to take the charge of that Khilafat of Rasulullah, no sinner would ever remain on this planet, no sin will ever be committed. We find the services provided by Amirul Mu'mineen, no one can ever think to be a match to it. Here we find he is the head of state, an old man in Kufa. Comes into the streets of Kufa and sees a maid, she is crying. Comes to her and says, why are you crying? Says that my master, she gave me some money to buy some dates. I went to the market, bought some dates. Now these dates are bad, and she will tell me off. And I've come here to return it, and the shopkeeper, he wants to take it back. And I'm afraid that Amirul Mu'mineen says, let's go together. He comes to the shopkeeper, speaks to him. He says, don't bother me. Amirul Mu'mineen very politely says that take this back, give her something better. Upon seeing this insistence of Amirul Mu'mineen, that person, he comes and disrespects him, insults him, and boxes the chest of Amirul Mu'mineen. He comes away. The neighbor, he comes and says, do you know what you have done? Says, no. Says, do you know who that person was? Says, an old man in rags. Like every other person who comes here and bothers me, he also was here. So, do you know which chest did you box? That chest was the treasure, the trunk of the secrets of Allah. That chest was Allah's secrets. He was the husband of Zahra, daughter of Rasulullah, father of Hassanayn. And that shopkeeper, he comes and falls onto the feet of Amirul Mu'mineen and says, forgive me, I do not recognize you. Brings the best of dates, gives it to the maid. Now she was late. And the lady also, she was watching this maid from the distance. And when she sees that she is accompanied with Amirul Mu'mineen, she opens the door of the house. Not one door, both the doors she opens before Amirul Mu'mineen. Here he comes and says, forgive her, she was late. He says, not forgiveness, I free her in your way. She is yours, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen. This is the akhlaq, the etiquette that we find from Amirul Mu'mineen, just a little bit, a gloomy picture we can get, that what a great personality Amirul Mu'mineen was. And now this is someone who is the first person of his state, head of the state. One of the names that we find given to Ma'sumeen, especially for Imam al-Asr, is Ghawsul Ummah. We find this name for Amirul Mu'mineen, Ghawsul Ummah. We recite in these du'as, Ya Ghiyas al-Mustaghiseen, saying that, O helper of those who seek help. So Amir al-Mu'mineen, head of the state, here we find that this title that is given to him, how he abides by it, with how humbleness, how much of humbleness and sincerity. Those who've been to Iraq, they've seen the heat, how hot it is in summer. Sometimes it exceeds plus 55 Celsius, which is extremely hot. Says that in his Darul Khilafah, that is in his governor house, people who need to see the Imam, they have to come to that place, to his office, cross the security and come to his office. He says, those who want to meet me, they are in need. I will come and sit outside the office in that heat so that someone who is in need does not need to come all this way, cross and pass the security to meet me. So that whatever they want and they are in need is given as granted to them quicker. That is Ghawsul Ummah. The same title we find for Imam Al-Asr. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. That he is Ghawsul Ummah. That is, whosoever wants, whatsoever he wants, comes to this door of Imam Al-Asr, he gets it. And it isn't as such that we have to go through all those formalities and sophisticated means to get to the Imam. Hadith says that you call the Imam in your heart, he gets the message. The same thing is with Amirul Mu'mineen, that you call him in your heart, the message gets to Amirul Mu'mineen. Regarding the sayings that we have for Amirul Mu'mineen, here Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the sincere Sahabi of Rasulullah, who saw so many Imams until Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam, he says that what Rasulullah told about Amirul Mu'mineen, if one of those qualities was given to someone, that was sufficient for his entire duration. Not only here, everywhere. Says, the Prophet said, Aliyun qasimul jannati wan nar, that Ali is the distributor of the hell and the heaven. That is, if you want to see, if you want to see that as to whether or not we will end up in the hell or the heaven, we have to balance us with Amirul Mu'mineen. See how much compatible we are with Amirul Mu'mineen. Everything is black over here, and we have sat down to mourn Amirul Mu'mineen. Many a times we find that there is an inclination in our hearts, and without anything being uttered or said, we burst into tears. We feel like crying. Why is that? Shia is not a Shia, and he did not become a Shia just a drive-through or just like that. No. Shias are Shias because they've given their tests way before. If someone has that love for Amirul Mu'mineen in his heart, it isn't given to him instantly. He has passed some tests, some examinations way before, as a result of which he is a Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen. That hadith says that Shi'atuna qad khuliqu min fa'dinatina wa'ujinu bi nur al-wilaya, that our Shias, they are made with the leftover clay with which Ma'sumeen were created, and that clay was mixed with the light, with the noor of wilaya. So if today we feel like crying because Amirul Mu'mineen is hurt, because Zahra is in azab, because Hasanain, they are mourning, because it's the same clay, the same way how we were created, like they were created. So there is a connection between us and them which makes us cry for Amirul Mu'mineen today. Or elsewhere says that man faraqa aliyan faqad faraqani wa man faraqani faqad faraqallah. Says, if you want to know as to whether or not you are successful or you are a loser, see that how much have you distanced from Ali. The closer a person is to Amirul Mu'mineen, the more successful he is. Someone who distances from Amirul Mu'mineen, no matter how much, he is that loser. We find that many of these tasks, I'll give you an example, that many a times we want to be with him, but our actions and our amal, our performance is such that we are automatically aloof and away from him. It was mentioned repeatedly that whatsoever our mujtahideen have said to us, that has to be done. If we do it today, tomorrow when Imam comes, it will be easier for us to do. So it is a probation period we are living in. And if the mujtahid says that you have to do this, you have to do that, you don't have to do this, if we practice it now, tomorrow when Imam comes and says do this, it will be easier. If we were not useless, if we did not do anything today, then definitely we can swear an oath that tomorrow when Imam comes and says these are the tasks to be done, definitely we will not do. Because we are not trained, we haven't practiced, we haven't got even that learner license. So for that reason, we have to practice whatever has been said. So here says that whosoever distances from Ali has distance from me, that is Rasulullah. And says that whosoever distances from Rasulullah is distance from Allah. And someone who is distance from Allah, to him is that eternal punishment, that azab. We talked about Akhirah, we talked about Sirat, we talked about Allah being Sari or Hisab. We talked about all these different stops and stations in the hereafter. What of these riwayat, as it is the day of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'll quote as much as it is possible so that we get connected to the topics that were touched. One of the issues that is mentioned in our aqaid is that there is a punishment for someone whose aqaid are faulty, there is a reward for someone whose aqaid are correct, and there is a midway, who are known and tagged as mustaz'afin. Mustaz'afin in religion, in aqidah. To someone who, to whom this message did not reach, that person is mustaz'af. Now someone to whom a message did not reach, will Allah punish him? Will His grace, His justice does not allow him to punish, because that message did not get to that individual. To the people that message did not reach, here says that the criteria is that they will be placed in a holding area, not in the heaven, not in the hell, somewhere in the middle, wherein that azab is also not there, wherein that those favors of that high quality also will not be given to them. But they will be in an area. It doesn't mean that that azab will not be there, that azab al-qabr will not be there. Inshallah, we'll touch these topics in the forthcoming nights, what exactly it is meant. Now the gates of the heaven, Quran says, the doors which lead to the heaven, they are eight. The doors which lead to the hell are seven. Says that in one of these ahadith, that the doors which take you to the heaven, they are eight. One of those doors, the last one, it belongs to those Muslims who said La ilaha illallah, but did not have the faintest, slightest, the very least hatred towards Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Says for those people, Allah will allow them to enter the heaven, but that low grade heaven, the basic levels of the heaven. Someone who said La ilaha illallah, but that hatred towards Ahlul Bayt did not exist in their heart. Someone who had the least hatred towards Ahlul Bayt, definitely they will not end up in the heaven. Now when we say that that heaven, the lowest, the basic levels of it, the reason why the basic levels of it, because the higher levels of that heaven, we have to make it from here. Heaven, it's like these lands that we have here. There has to be a builder who wants to invest, and that he makes houses and he sells. Lands in the heavens are just barren lands. Those houses there are built by the building material that is sent from here. So building material of our houses there has to be sent from this world. In this hadith of Qudsi, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ascends to the heavens, he comes to a place, Jibreel is showing him, he is the guide. He says that I come to a palace which is being built, there are some builders, they lay a block and then they sit and rest. After a while, they lay another block and then they sit and rest. Rasulullah says that, what is this they are building? He says that this is the house of such and such a mu'min living in dunya now. This is his house. Says, why don't they build it quickly? Rasulullah says, the angel Jibreel says that the building material of this house is sent from dunya. What is that says when he says Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar once, one brick is laid over there. So the more he says, the more bricks are laid there. The more he says here, the quicker that house will be built over there. So the building material of our houses over there is sent from here. So if that heaven is a barren land, houses over there are built by our building material which is sent from here. Quran says there are 8 doors to the heavens. Says one of the doors is for those who had good actions. One of the doors is for those who performed amr bil ma'ruf. One of the doors is for them who were patient in this world. One of the doors is for those who were sabir, who were thankful to Allah. One of the doors is for those who observed fasts in this month. And one of the doors is for those mustazafeen, who said La ilaha illallah but did not have the faintest hatred towards Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Many a times we find that our actions are such that we are driven away from Ahlul Bayt. I'll give you an example. Some jobs are horrible, dangerous. Not every job are we allowed to work. We have to be so careful what gets into our system. If it's haram, say Khuda Hafiz. And this example was mentioned last year. One of the people who lived about 50 years ago, it's Qasim Karbalai, an illiterate person who couldn't read and write, living in Qom. Now this incident is quoted by many of the ulama, even the present Maraji Taqlid, they who have witnessed, among them it's Ayatullah Usman Makarim Shirazi. He says during his time when he was studying, this person was in Qom. And all of a sudden he becomes a hafiz of Quran, someone who could read Quran, someone who was totally illiterate, who had memorized Quran. And when asked as to how this happened, says that he was working for someone. And his boss, he did not pay zakat. He comes and says to him, pay zakat, because I am being funded from your source of income. He doesn't listen. Second time he says he doesn't listen. Third time he says he doesn't listen. And then he says, goodbye, I will not be working for you. Says the moment he said goodbye to that job, that very moment, he is downloaded with special graces and mercy, favors from Allah, that someone who was illiterate becomes a hafiz of Quran. And these students who were living there, they used to come and put books in front of him, saying that, can you read that? Just to tease him. And he said, this is not Quran. But some of these words are from Quran. And when he was inquired as to how can he differentiate between Quran and others, he says that Quran glows before me. That is a special favor that was given to him just for saying no to that job. So some jobs are bad, horrible, although we may be getting lots of income from there. But effect of that is bad, and the immediate effect of it, the basic effect of it, it's an automatic distance between us and Ahlul Bayt is created. During the time of Aba Abdullah and Hussein and that incident of Karbala, after this incident we find that a person comes to Mecca holding the curtain of Kaaba. He is pleading, Allah forgive me, although I know you will not forgive me. He says, forgive me. Someone passing by there, and this person holding the curtain of Kaaba was blind. This incident is reported in this book written by Sayyidina Taus. And there says that he was pleading that Allah forgive me, although I know that you will not forgive me. He says, what type of dua is this? You are in Mecca holding this curtain of Kaaba. No matter what wrong you have done, he will forgive you. He says, not to me. And then says his story. Says, what is it? Says, I was among the army of Yazid, la'natullah alayh. On one day, when I come home, I was tired. I said my Maghrib prayers and I slept. Then I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Says that I saw the Prophet sitting in a desert with a bowl of blood in front of him. And then says, there were two angels with whips of fire in their hands. They come to beat me, lash me with those whips, and I throw myself into the laps of Rasulullah, saying, Al-Aman, help me, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah says, help? Why? What help? And then he says, I did not serve Yazid in any way. I had a horse. That horse of mine did not gallop one step in service of Yazid. I had a sword. This sword was never used against Abu Abdullah. Here Rasulullah says, but you were present in the army of Yazid. Your mere presence in the army of Yazid is a support to Yazid. Says, do you see what this is? Says, blood of my son Hussein. Rasulullah dips his fingers into the blood of Abu Abdullah and wipes it onto the eyes of this person, says, from that dream wherein Rasulullah wiped the blood of Abu Abdullah on my eyes, I got blinded. Why? Someone who was in the army of Yazid, who was working a job which was haram, that has an immediate effect. So some jobs are dangerous. We have to be very careful. If we want to be with Amir al-Mu'mineen, everything around us has to be safe. Everything around us has to be secure. If we want, says here, مَنْ فَارَقَ عَلِيًّا فَقَدْ فَارَقَ عَلِي. That someone who distances from Ali has distance from me. And someone who has distance from me has distance from Allah. Says that, now these are all these sayings which Rasulullah has said. Said one of them was given to someone that was sufficient for him. Says, شِيَاتُ عَلِيٍّ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That is, the followers of Ali, that is those who say and believe in the oneness of Allah, in the justice of Allah, in the prophethood, in the concept of imamat, and in the day of judgment, says these are the prosperous. These are those who will be successful on the day of judgment. And then says, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ صَاحِبُ سِرٍّ. That every prophet had someone in whom he could confide. That is, the secrets of every prophet. He had someone where these secrets could be transferred. Says that, وَصَاحِبُ سِرِّ عَلِي بْنَ عَلِي طَالِبٍ. Says, and that possessor of that those secrets in whom I can confide is Amir. The qualities which he possesses, for example, birth in Kaaba, no one was ever born in Kaaba, nor will anyone be born in Kaaba. So that was only and only for Amir al-Mu'mineen. Even when Prophet Isa was to be born and Maryam is in labor, instructions are that Maryam, leave, you can't be here. This is a place of worship. But when Ali is to be born and Fatima bint Asad is in labor, says you have to come. She wasn't in the mosque. She is brought to the mosque by the Kaaba. The wall crack open and there Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu was salam is born. On a night like tonight, which is the night when Amir al-Mu'mineen is hurt, is hit, we find that he talked about his shahadat a lot in this month. And many a times he used to hold his beard and say that this beard will die in blood. Everyone around him was restless, was hurt, that he is talking about death. And it was as such that as his days were passing by, he was a guest in the house of one of his children. On one day he was a guest of his son Hassan, the other day Abu Abdullah, one day Zainab, one day Umm Kulsum. And on a night like tonight, he was the guest of Umm Kulsum, his second daughter. And then in all these nights, they say that Amir al-Mu'mineen did not eat a lot, just 3 spoons. And his iftar was simple, very simple. And then when this iftar was done, they used to enforce that eat some more. He says that I am departing and soon I will be meeting my Lord. and I want to meet him with an empty belly, with an empty stomach. Here, to the children, he says that if I die, I don't want you to cry. I don't want you to raise your voices. But the children say that instructions to us were that you shouldn't be raising your voices. Or even when Hazrat Zahra alayha salam passed away, instructions from Amir al-Mu'mineen were that, children, I don't want you to raise your voices. I don't want the neighbors to find out that a tragedy has unfolded in this house. He says, although his instructions were such, all of a sudden, when he was washing the body of Hazrat Zahra, with the help of his two sons, they poured water, he washed. All of a sudden, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he leaves the washing, comes into the yard of the house, puts his head on the wall and starts crying. Children say, were not the instructions as such that we shouldn't be crying? We shouldn't be raising our voice? Why is he crying? And then when they found out, says that Zahra, she had hidden that from me, that she was hit and hurt that bad, that her ribs were crushed, her arm was bruised by that baton of that mal'oon who had hit. Now on a night like tonight, we find that Amir al-Mu'mineen is the guest of her daughter, Umm Kulsum. Umm Kulsum says, I prepared the iftar for my father. When it was time for Maghrib, he was restless, comes and looks at the sky, and then says, yes, this is the time, this is that moment, what is going to happen will happen. And that mal'oon will do what he will do. Says that when he is so much in discomfort, I said to him, father, why are you so uncomfortable? Iftar was late, a little piece of bread with some salt and milk was presented to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he says to his daughter, Umm Kulsum, did you ever see your father have his meal with two types of dishes, three types of dishes? Umm Kulsum, she wants to take the salt away. He says, leave the salt and take the milk away. So with a little piece of bread and some salt, he has his iftar. And again after that, he is restless. Rests for a little while, stands and comes towards the window, looks out towards the sky, and then says, yes, this is that time, this is that time. It was time for Fajr. Umm Kulsum informs Imam al-Mujtaba that father is very uncomfortable, very restless. You go and lead the prayers, Hassan. He insists, but instructions of Imam are that, no, I'll lead. The call of Azan in Kufa was recited, was heard by everyone present in Kufa. Amir al-Mu'mineen heads towards the mosque to say his prayers. And incidents which unfold one after the other, all of them want to say, Ya Ali, don't go. Imam steps out of the house. The door nail, it catches the aba, the clothing of Amir al-Mu'mineen, saying that, stop, don't go, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He takes his aba out of the door nail, steps out. Now the ducks in the house, they catch the hold of the aba of Amir al-Mu'mineen, saying, stop, don't go. Even those animals, they knew what a tragedy is going to unfold. Amir al-Mu'mineen comes to the mosque here and sees that mal'oon Ibn Muljam rahmatullah alayh sleeping on his belly with a sword which was poisoned and prepared to hit the Imam. Imam comes, wakes them for namaz, says, I know what your intentions are. Know that it is the teaching of Rasulullah that you shouldn't be sleeping on your belly. Sleep on your back or sleep on your right, never sleep on your belly. Wakes him and then heads off to the pulpit, to that mimbar, mihrab, to say his prayers. Imam stands, azan, iqamat was given, and starts his prayers. And when Imam was in sajda, this mal'oon comes and attacks onto the noble head of Amir al-Mu'mineen and hits exactly that same spot where Amr ibn Abdul had hit Amir al-Mu'mineen. When Amir al-Mu'mineen is hit, that cry of Jibreel is heard by everyone, تَحَدَّمَتْ وَاللَّهُ أَرْكَانُ الْهُدَىٰ, that today the column, the foundations of guidance, they shook.
قتل علينا المرتضى. علي مرتضى is killed and the successor of Mustafa has been killed. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع لهم على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وطالعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها 10 times. يا الله 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 يا الله. إلهي, by these tears that were shed for Amir al-Mu'mineen, the first oppressed, the first mazloom of history, hasten the return of our master, our Imam. Ya Allah, count us among his true supporters and those who seek shahadat in his service. Ya Allah, this distance between us and you, reduce it. Ya Allah, this distance between us and Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wassalam, reduce it. The jobs that we have, the tasks, if they are not good, you help us that we correct them. On this night, which is the night of Amir al-Mu'mineen, on this night, which is the night of Qadr, Ya Allah, we ask you to enlist our children among the best of Muslims who ever existed. Ya Allah, we to be enlisted among the best of supporters of Imam al-Asim. All those who are ill and ailing, Ilahi, bihaqq Ali, grant them shifa. All those who are oppressed, may they be eased and released by from the oppression of all oppressors, in whatever form, wheresoever on this planet they be. Ya Allah, clean and clear the surface of this planet Earth from every tyrant, from every zalim, from every oppressor, and the temptations and traps of shaitan be away from us. Wa'ajjal fi faraj Mawlana Sahib al-Zaman, Martin Hussain.
Amen. 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 Amen.